Well, summer camp, are you ready to hear God speak? The living God, open up to Luke 24. I wonder if every time you open the Bible, you recognize what's about to happen. God is about to speak to you. You're going to have an encounter with the living God at his very word. Luke chapter 24 is where we are. It's right at the end of this gospel. Its context, of course, has been the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Verse 44. He said to them, see, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what was written, that the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Let's pray. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus the Christ, who lived in our history, human history, died on the cross for our sin, rose for our hope, and gave us these words. We thank you for your word. As we come to your word now and in our studies later tonight, oh, we ask that you would do it again. We ask that you would open our minds. Open our minds to see, to hear you at your word, to see who Jesus is and what that means for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I used to play football badly. So I want to make a confession up front because you might guess it's a collar thing. I didn't play Aussie Rules AFL. I just couldn't. I'm a foreigner to this land. I'm not from the great nation of Victoria. I'm from New South Wales originally. And so I've been 7 years in Victoria. I've grown to love other sports. But I grew up playing rugby. But I played it badly. And I was on a team of people that played it pretty badly. So there's a nickname for our team. It was a university team, and it's a bad nickname. It's not something to be celebrated, but we often said that we were a drinking team with a rugby problem, because that's how bad we played, right? We were pretty bad at it. So much so, one particular year, we got awarded the wooden spoon. I'm not sure if you know what that is, but it's the trophy you get when you don't deserve any other trophy, not even third place. We were the last because we lost every game. Every game that whole season, every game we lost. And I remember clearly the last game. Here's me, a bad rugby player, a bad footy player, playing on a team of bad players. And we were playing so badly that our coach would just shout at us from the sideline. Now, our coach, he wasn't actually a coach. He was the local publican. So he ran the pub that we used to go to after rugby training. And you could tell he wasn't a coach, right? You could tell because he didn't really know what he was doing. He didn't have a clue. And he would just kind of, you know, didn't have a game plan. He would just shout at us. And his common phrase, and it sort of reverberates around my mind still to this day, every time I get a ball in my hand, I can hear him shouting at me, "Get some mongrel, India!" That's all he used to say. So it wouldn't matter if we were going poorly or very poorly, he would just shout at us from the sideline, "Get some mongrel in here, can't you put the ball over the end and score?" And we'd be like, "Well, evidently no." And so I was a bad player, not a very good player, and a team of not very good players. And, you know, we kind of needed something from our coach. We needed, I don't know, a game plan. We needed some help. You know, perhaps even you could teach us how to play. That would be helpful. Teach us maybe how to get the ball over the end of the line. All that sort of stuff was one game. The last game of the season. The last game in a losing streak of losing streaks. we were again, they'd scored against us. Again, we were standing there, heads down, and he comes up to us and he says, if they score again before halftime, no one gets any water. We were very thirsty that day. We didn't get any water. And our captain at halftime, as we were standing there, panting from thirst, says to our coach, do we have a plan? Is there a game plan? And you know what our coach said? You can guess. Just get some mongrel into ya. I wonder if you feel like you live in a world where sometimes you just need a game plan. You need to know what's going on. Sometimes it just feels like you're living life and you're kind of entering teenagehood or leaving it or, you know, in the middle of it, and you're just wondering, I want to know what's going on. I'd like to know a general plan of what life looks like, how life is going to pan out, what life's all about. And it feels like, for the most part, sometimes the best some people can help you with is just shout at you. Get some adult about you. Get some teenage about you. Get some smarts about you. Get better. Do what you need to do, but do it better. And maybe you just want someone to say, look, here's what's going on. Maybe for you, if you're like me, and I guess you are because you're a human, maybe you've even gone deeper than that question of what's going on. Maybe you've asked that question perhaps inside, out loud. You've asked this question, God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? What's the game plan, God? What are you doing in the world today? Because it's ticking over like it did yesterday, like it did for my parents and my grandparents. Yes, the 80s was a strange decade. And different things happened that shall not be repeated very often. But it seems to be that just it keeps ticking over and the world keeps going round and round. It goes round the sun, it goes back again. And what's the plan? Surely of all the people in the world, in the universe, God would have a plan. Maybe you thought that. Maybe you've just thought it on the inside. Don't dare say it outside, because if you do, you're worried someone might just shout at you. Just get some Christian about you. Maybe you just kind of want to, God, what's the game plan? What is going on? Perhaps you've asked this question. It's a question that is asked in Acts chapter 1 in a different few set of words. But it's asked in this way. What on earth is God doing? What on earth is God doing? What is he doing right now? Can I say, if you're asking that question, welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. I ask that question. And, by the way, welcome to your leader's world. Your leaders understand, I understand, but all than that, more than that, Jesus understands. And that's why he gives you this book, the book of Acts. Jesus understands what it's going to be like when he ascends and reigns as king. And so he gives us this book of Acts, because we're going to be asking the question, as the world ticks over, turns over, what is God doing in the world? Well, Jesus gives us the game plan in a book, 28 chapters long. Here it is, the book of Acts. It's the plan. And we get to see it tonight. We get to see the start of it tonight. We get to open it like opening an old map. And this map is a beautiful map to see. It's very clear. It's very simple, and it's very profound. And as you open the book of Acts, we are going to see tonight, firstly, who the book's about. Secondly, what is the key question that's being asked tonight? What's the plan? We will see the plan. And fourthly, we're going to see, how do we read this book? Because if you have any familiarity with the book of Acts, if you've ever opened it, cracked it open, and opened it to any sort of section, you go, well, that was strange. It's kind of like opening a history book on the 80s, isn't it? What? They did what? They spoke in some sort of strange tongue, language? Well, yeah, it can be a strange book to read. We're going to see how to read it. So when we pray, oh Lord, open our minds. When I ask that, I don't ask that in vain. I don't ask that because it's a neat little thing to say at the start. I actually really pray that. Because I, standing here, I feel my human weakness. I am just a man. I'm the son of a farmer. Born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s, came to kind of maturity in the 90s. If that was the case, maybe a bit more now. But I feel weak, and I open this book and I feel it's 28 chapters. We really do need God to help us, him to open our minds to understand this. But more to understand it, to see what he's doing. See, if you see the book of Acts, you'll actually get to see a picture of what God is doing on earth today, right now. And the question is going to be beyond that. Are you part of it? So I want you to open the book of Acts, have it in front of you. We just read from Luke's gospel, but can I ask you, hold a thumb or a Bible ribbon in Luke's gospel at the end of Luke, in Luke 24. You'll need a thumb there or a ribbon or a bookmark, and one in Acts. There's only one book between them, so it's just John's gospel. Yeah, I know, I wish those who compiled the Bible kind of put Luke and Acts together. It would be really handy, and you'll find out why very soon. But John's gospel between them, we're going to do a little bit of flicking, not too much, but have it open, have the Acts open. And the question I'm going to be asking is, the book, the Acts of who? So on your outline there, that's what we're up to. Firstly, the Acts of who? See, if you open your Bible into Acts, what do you see? You might see it's entitled The Acts of the Apostles. It might just say Acts or The Acts of the Apostles. And for the most part, that's what people have called it. It's The Acts of the Apostles. It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It's what the apostles did. But you'll see, as you read this summer camp, you'll actually see something very interesting, if not extraordinary. It's not about the apostles. It's not really the Acts of the Apostles we're reading here. Yes, for the first half, Peter, he features quite prominently. Second half, it's Paul. They kind of do a Peter shift, a Paul shift. That's true, but they're not even the main characters. Who is? Luke, the writer, tells us. This is the great thing about a Bible study. Sometimes you're in a Bible study and you're wondering, where's the answer? Usually, here's my hot tip. In a Bible study, the answer is usually in the Bible. It's a pretty good tip, I know. But that's where it is. Come with me, have a look. Acts 1 verse 1, Emily read earlier. Luke, the writer, says this. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Do you notice? Who's it about? I mean, firstly, it's a bit strange because Luke says, Theophilus, he writes to this guy, Theo. Theo, you know that former book I wrote? Yeah, I wrote in that former book all that Jesus began to do and teach, all that he did earlier. I'm writing now a second book. So you get this, the book of Acts, it's part two. It's like watching Star Wars. Right, so Star Wars, really, the best of Star Wars was made in the 70s and 80s. Okay, it's just how it is, right? That one went classic Star Wars, and then they did some weird stuff with CGI and all the stuff that people in the year 2000 discovered. And real Star Wars, they're kind of strange because it sounds like real Star Wars sort of starts in part two, doesn't it? And then you've got part one comes later. Get this, Acts is part two. You're actually reading now part two of Luke's volumes. What was part one? Can you guess? It's pretty easy. It was Luke's gospel. Luke writes a two-part story, and do you see who it's about? Verse 1. If volume 1 was all that Jesus began to do and teach, volume 2 quite clearly is all that Jesus continues to do in the world. You could actually call this book The Acts of Jesus. Jesus has risen. He is ascended. He is reigning somewhere in the universe as a human being sitting on a throne. It's extraordinary when you think about it. He is there, but he is still working in the world today, and this is the book of Acts. And how is he doing that? Through his Spirit. So we see there, verse 2, after giving instruction through his Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, this book is the Acts of Jesus by his Spirit, or through his Spirit. That's what this book is about. It's the Acts of Jesus by his Spirit. And the main character of the book is then surprising. Because while the book's about Jesus, by his Spirit working in the world today, the main character is not Paul, it's not Peter, it's not any of the people we see. Actually, the main character is the word of the gospel. It's the word of God. Which is a strange main character, isn't it? It's kind of like Lord of the Rings. You know, a key character in Lord of the Rings has got to be the ring, hasn't it? The ring goes everywhere. It's part of the story. Well, it's kind of like that. We kind of don't expect the Word of God is the main character. You expect a person. Well, the Word of God, the gospel, the good news of Jesus is about a person. It's about him. And here is this main character in this story, the main character, the Word of God, going in the world today. That's what the book is about. It's about Spirit-empowered witness. And Jesus makes very clear right from the beginning, this whole book, whilst the apostles are doing lots of stuff, it's not mainly about them, it's mainly about God working in his world today. And so we read this book, the Acts of Jesus by his Spirit, and the question is, why bother then? That's all very nice. Very interesting little introduction. That's great. Now we can write that down perhaps in our Bibles or in the margin or in our booklets. That's very interesting. It's the Acts of Jesus. I can tell it to my friends. Oh, what do you think the Acts of the Apostles is about? Bible trivia night, Friday night, whatever you guys do for fun in your town. Bible trivia nights, Friday night. Okay, what's the Acts about? Oh, it's about the Acts of the Apostles. No! I went to summer camp, so the Acts of Jesus. Is that all it is? Is that where we end this talk now? You learnt that this is about the Acts of Jesus, not the Acts of the Apostles. You can go and tell everyone how wrong they are. No. There's a real good reason to read this. Because when you ask that question, which we started with, what on earth is God doing? Read the Acts. Read the Acts of Jesus and you'll see. See, this question we've asked is actually the same question, in a way of sorts, that the early disciples ask of Jesus himself right there. That's what they ask. Jesus, we see, has he's risen and he's with them. So he's with them for over a month. We know over 500 people saw him. And Jesus tells them, the triune God's got a purpose. God has a purpose. Verse 4, wait for the gift the Father has promised, the Holy Spirit, very Trinitarian here. And verse 6, they ask the question. Great, Jesus, he said, wait, we've got a question for you. It's your question. It's the same question. And they ask it in this way. Verse 6, have a look. When they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, they're asking, when, Jesus? What? How? What's going to happen next? We've seen you rise again, and that is really, well, that's amazing. That's impossible. Only God can do that. But what next? Surely this means now the kingdom's going to be restored. Things are going to change. You're going to bring it all together. Bring it all home. Grand finale. What on earth are you going to do now, Jesus? Since you're still here, by the way. And Jesus answers in verse 7, times and dates don't matter, but here's what does. Here's the game plan, verse 8. Here is the game plan of God. And it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Do you see it? Acts 1 verse 8. This is the thematic verse of Acts. The Acts of Jesus by his Spirit. This is the key verse. If you've seen this and you've realized God has just opened your mind to now you can actually understand the whole of the book of Acts. Because the whole of the book of Acts, 28 chapters long, the stuff that we're going to be reading through in our studies, in our quiet times, this whole book hinges on that verse. The words of Jesus is the thematic statement of this book. It's the theme, it's the purpose of Jesus in this world. The ongoing action of Jesus. We get to see it. It's encapsulated in this verse. We get to see God's game plan. Here it is for us. See, it's like, you know, when you get a kind of, I guess you call it real footy down here, but when you go to the football game, where's the coach? Where is the coach at the game? He's not on the sidelines shouting at people. What's he doing? He's in his box on the phones and he's strategizing. He's seeing the whole picture himself. He's got the whole plan in front of him and he's enacting it out. And this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus, by his Spirit, is in the coach's box. And the game plan is happening right now. And he says, you want to see a snippet of it? You want to know it? Open up the playbook. Here it is. It's Acts 1 verse 8. See, last summer camp, you learnt, if you were here, you learnt and loved all about the Holy Spirit. And you saw who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. And now you see what he's doing. Power received to be witnesses in, here's the plan, in the city of Jerusalem to start with, where they're standing right now. But not only that, more than that. Then in the surrounding region of Jerusalem, kind of in the greater area, the greater district of Judea. And then of all places in Samaria. I mean, who'd want to go to Samaria? You know, Samaritans, we don't like them very much. It's kind of like saying Sydney people. Who'd want to go there? right? We don't really like them very much, but yes, that's where the gospel will go next. And then beyond even Samaria, to the end of the earth. That's the plan. That's where the witness will go. And this is the action of Jesus. It's not plan B. It's not like at the end of Luke's gospel, you know, Jesus died and they went, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. What are we going to do now? Well, you know, it's actually part of the plan since the beginning. But this is what's going to happen. Our world is a world gone wrong. And we feel this, don't we? We feel this. Your friends feel this. See, as much as you might feel like you're kind of alone in the world, particularly if you're a Christian person. I ran the queue for lunch, a dinner recently, tonight. And that's how recent it was. And I ran into the crowd from Quamatook. Quamatook, you here? Yeah, there's Quamatook, right? Quamatook, and there's some people from New South that were Balranald. And I said to them, I grew up in a country town too, in New South Wales, and my youth group was five people. How big is yours? And they said, we don't have one. I said, oh, right. I said, yeah, well, that's pretty tough, right? You might feel small. Well, in Bendigo, just trying to make them feel better, in Bendigo, our youth group was, well, it was, if you can't, it was one. Yeah, he's not here right now. The youth group has gone off to learn about Youth Metro. But you feel small, and you feel small in your youth group, you feel small in your church, and you probably ask that question, what is God doing today? What is he doing on earth? Acts 1 verse 8 tells you. And if your friends that are not believers are asking, well, perhaps you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, I'm not a believer yet. I'm just checking out Jesus, checking out Christianity. And you want to know what God is doing on earth today? It's in Acts 1 verse 8. This is his purpose. This is what he's doing. The good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus that we read in Luke 24, that good news, Luke 24 verse 46, verse 46 sums up Luke's gospel. This is supposed to happen, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Verse 47 sums up the Acts. That repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to the end of the earth, to the nations, to Australians, to Syrians, to Sudanese, to New Zealanders? That end of the earth, that far? Yes. This is what God is doing on earth today. He is taking the good news that you can not just kind of know about your Creator, you can know him personally, you can have forgiveness of all your wrongs against him. Forgiveness of sins, that news, that gospel, that good news, Jesus' plan is to go to the end of the earth. That's his plan. Well, as we read Acts and we see that plan outline, I want you to notice something about the book. See, it's 28 chapters. It can seem a bit big, right? We're going to study this book, a bit big to study. But it's easy to break up to make it easier. And we need to know how to read the book of Acts, because many people have grabbed the book of Acts, and what they've done is they've read it badly. They've read it badly enough that people have been misled. So to read it properly, we need to see every single time we come up against a problem, every single time we're not sure what to do, every single time we're not sure how to read it, read Acts 1 verse 8, and it'll give you the big picture of what the book is doing. And as you do that, we're going to notice a few things, because Acts 1 verse 8 projects forward into the book at least six times with these growth summaries. See, if the gospel is going to Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth, you'd expect to see that, and you do. And you do so much that it's outlined, Luke outlines it for us in a common phrase. He says a few times, if you've got your Bibles there, I want you to get a pencil or a pen and get ready to underline right now. Do it in advance, it'll help you. And if you're not doing this, can I ask you, why not? If you're worried about writing your Bibles, don't worry, the numbers in your Bible, yeah, they'll put in there about the 13th, 15th century, so like they're not originals, okay? It's okay to write in your Bibles. If you've got a phone and you've got the app, I know it's hard. You could use the liquid paper or something and work it out later, I don't know, texter, probably permanent marker. But have a go, open Bibles, handle Bibles, open your Bibles, you'll need to in your studies, have a look, just flick with me. And as you flick, mark it down. Look at chapter 6, verse 7, chapter 6, verse 7. In chapter 6, verse 7, we see chapter 1, verse 8 start being fulfilled. Chapter 6, verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests, even priests, these guys who killed Jesus, became obedient to the faith. Jesus' plan is actually working. Who'd have thunk it? The one who made the universe, the one who died for sinners, the one who rose again, defeating sin and death, laughed at it. His plan is working. We get to chapter 6, verse 7, and it's like Luke is reminding us. You know how Jesus said in 1 verse 8, the whole book's about him, this is what God is doing on the earth today? Chapter 6, verse 7, by the way, notice what happened in Jerusalem. Boom. Instant megachurch. Instant summer camp-sized youth group. And this happens again and again. Mark that one, underline it, put markings around it. It happens again and again and again in the book. It happens in, and I'll just kind of rattle them off now. We can talk about it later, but you, probably study leaders will tell you. Chapter 9, verse 31. Chapter 9, verse 31. Chapter 12, verse 24. Look at 9, 31. Look at 12, 24. If you go to 9, 31, we'll just go there quickly. 9:31, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, what? Enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers in living in the fear of the Lord. 12:24, come to 12:24. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. Notice how the word of God's the main character? Even as they're trying to talk about church numbers a little bit, you know, your size of your group, they might talk about the apostles here and there doing their thing, but mainly and for the most part, it's the word of God that's growing. Why is it the word of God is the main character? This is how to read the book of Acts, to see it's the word of God. Why? Because as you'll see this week, if chapter 1 verse 8 is the plan, if it's the game plan of God, that's Jesus' purpose in the world today, then what you're going to see throughout the Acts, no matter what happens, no matter what you think the world can throw at you, what you see again and again, is that the unhindered word of God will go in a hostile world to the end of that earth. And it's unstoppable. It is absolutely unstoppable. This is the gospel advancing. The book of Acts is like a box set of episodes. You know, you've watched series, your Doctor Who fans, or your Firefly fans, or your West Wing fans, or whatever you are. You know, watch those TV series. The book of Acts is like a box set. It's a box set of series, and there are episodes within those series and scenes within those episodes, and as you follow them again and again and again, you see it's a book, a series about real people with real struggles and real heroes and real hostility. And it's really, though, about the unstoppable gospel of Jesus. And you get to see what he's doing on earth today. You get to see it. If you've ever wondered, or you thought your friends wondered, or perhaps you're not a Christian and you've wondered, what is God doing on earth today? Jesus just told you the game plan. That's what he's doing. And if you wondered what's after that, well, he told you that as well. Did you see it there in Acts 1? It's the last verse we read. We read in verse 11, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." In other words, and if I can quote the 80s, it was 1984, it's a quotable quote, "I'll be back." He's going to be back, friends. As sure as he came into this world, as sure as we celebrated Christmas, as sure as we celebrated Easter, he is coming back. So maybe one day in heaven we'll celebrate Return Day. It'll be an ongoing feast forever. He is coming back. What's he doing now? Acts 1 verse 8. There's the game plan, friends. You don't need anyone shouting at you from the sidelines, do better, be better, achieve better, find acceptance. You just know right now from the beginning, forgiveness of sin has been proclaimed. Jesus is coming back in between now and then. What's he doing on earth? That gospel keeps going. And it keeps going. Well, what do we do with that? How do we apply that? So See, I suspect when it comes to reading the book of Acts, this is one of those books it can be easy to misapply. Like I said earlier, people have grabbed this and said all sorts of things, terrible things about, well, see, look what they did in Acts, now you should go and repeat. So, probably famously, and we're going to encounter this in our studies, even tonight's study, some people have said, and I've been part of churches like this, they've said, well, oh, look how they speak in tongues in the book of Acts. You must do that to be a Christian. Or some people have said, you know, rather extremely, look how this person, Paul, got bitten by snakes. You should expect that to happen and not die. You will get well. And people get all sorts of things from the book of Acts and kind of prescribe it, like going to a pharmacist and saying, you've got to do this. Well, some parts are prescribed. Some parts you are to do in terms of application. Some parts you can clearly say are just descriptive. It just describes. And there is a difference. How do you know? When it comes to applying the book of Acts, here's a hot tip. Firstly, it's in two parts. Firstly, when you're reading the Acts, the speeches explain what's going on. So when you see tonight in your studies in Acts 2, when you see they're speaking in tongues and the gospel's going out, it's in Jerusalem, it's all this weird stuff, and people are even so freaked out they think the apostles are drunk. When you see that, read the speech. When you see strange things, read the speech. The speech explains clearly what's going on and preaches what you need to do. And the second part of this is, when you read the book of Acts and you come across some hard stuff, the rest of the New Testament interprets it for you. When you don't want to know about tongues, or want to know about, you know, healing or being well or being sick or being afflicted with all sorts of things, the rest of the New Testament interprets the Acts for you. And these are really helpful things to understand and grapple with, because when it comes to right now, in these few moments, we're going to apply this. How do you apply Acts 1:1-11? What do we do with this? We answer that question you perhaps just asked on the inside. Do you see what God is doing on earth today? See, if you're a Christian, you do, and you know the end game. You know that he'll be back, and you know the game plan between now and then. You know it. So you've got everything you need right now to understand what God is doing on the earth today, even in your end of the earth. And you know that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed. You know the gospel is to be proclaimed. You don't need someone shouting at you, come on, proclaim the gospel, do more. Because you know it's going to be because the Holy Spirit empowers you to do so. He enables you to do so. These guys were scared out of their wits. The Holy Spirit enables them to do so. We were looking at a big book tonight, wondering, how are we going to understand this? We pray that the Holy Spirit would open our minds. Being a Christian right now is a wonderful blessing, because you get to see, you know what God is doing on earth right now. But what about if you're not a Christian? What about if you don't call yourself a believer yet? You come along to summer camp, I want to say you are most welcome to be here. This is a great place to spend the next few days of your New Year's here, hearing God speak from the Bible, from his word. What do you do with this? You've seen the kind of, this is what God is doing. Well, that's the point, isn't it? So you've been able to see right now. If you've wanted to know, you've seen it right now. This is what God is doing. But also, get this, if repentance, if forgiveness of sins, if a right relationship with the living God is being passed on and proclaimed to this end of the earth, it's come to your end. It's come to your little patch right now. It's come to you. And that wasn't by accident. That was Jesus' purpose. And so your opportunity starting tonight is to see what Jesus is doing and to turn and trust in him. Let's pray we would. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would open our minds. But now we ask more than that, now that we've seen, now that we understand, we pray that it won't just be information, trivial bits of knowledge about a book and how words fit together. Oh, please, we pray, please show us what you're doing. Show us what Jesus is doing on earth today by his Spirit. And as you show us, we ask move our hearts, that we would trust him at this end of the earth, that we would turn from just living life as the world turns, but that we would repent and rejoice, find forgiveness of sins, and that we would not just find out what you're doing, but that we would find you. We trust in you. And we pray this for our summer camp. We pray as we go into our studies. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.